stuff, and you're like, yeah, fun fact, like, I date girls.
I said that?
Yes, you're like, fun fact.
That's
like,
a very fun fact, yeah.
I date girls.
It's like, I date girls, you, hopefully. Hello and welcome to Under Our Roof. My name is Grace.
And I'm Lizzie.
And welcome to our podcast about living a simple gay old life at home. We are reporting to you one day after the coup d'etat of the United States.
The failed coup.
Let's gather ourselves and acknowledge the moment in time that we are recording this from. It's pretty insane. White supremacists and Trump supporters, really, I guess, the same thing, just different names for the same thing, stormed the Capitol yesterday as Congress was gathered in a joint session to certify the election, and people died, and it was horrific to see. Do you want to add anything? I mean, that's all we've been around our house. We've just been doom scrolling, trying to go about work tasks, taking care of the dogs, taking care of ourselves. And it's been surreal. And I imagine very surreal from where you're listening as well.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add other than that it does feel kind of strange to be trying to sit down and record this podcast that has nothing to do with the current political state of our world.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to say a little something. We hope that you are staying safe. I know I have some very close friends who live there, and if anyone else listening lives there, stay safe.
And there have been attempted insurrections of some variety in other state capitals across the country. It's a really scary time. This shouldn't come as a surprise if you've been paying attention at all. If you have, I don't know, a basic working history knowledge of this country. I don't know. It's heavy. We're wrestling with it in real time. And we wanted to sit down and give you all a podcast, perhaps a 30-minute distraction if you need it from what is going on, because I know it's so hard to ignore and it's really stressful. So this is an episode for you, by you in many ways. This is an episode of Query Letters.
Yeah. A couple of days ago, it was actually before what happened at the Capitol, I sent out an Instagram story asking for people who listen to either DM me or email us at underourroofpod@gmail.com. That's the address, by the way, in the future, to let us know what their burning questions were. These are advice questions. So what is going on in your life that you would like advice on? And we got such good questions, and I'm really excited to answer some of them. And I do want to do a quick caveat, which is that I thought going into this, we'd probably be able to answer all the questions we got, but we actually got a lot more than I expected. And so for time, we can't even answer probably half of the ones we got. And I hate that. It pains me to see people taking the time to write in a question and I just can't get to it on the format that we have here. But what I will say, and this may not always, I may not always have time to do this, but for now, if you had a question that you wrote in that we do not answer in the podcast, and if you happen to want my advice and I can get Grace's input, DM me on Instagram or email me the question again, because I can't really keep track and it's hard to search through Instagram messages.
They need to make folders or something.
Yeah, like messages. Instagram messages, you cannot organize well, so I won't really be able to find them again. But if you want advice, I would love to write some advice to you over message. So message me, and I will respond to the best of my possible ability, because I feel so bad that we're not going to answer all of them on the podcast.
And maybe Lizzie will call me into her office and just film a quick blurb of me helping with the answer as well. But we are going to do our best, and we really appreciate everyone writing in. Mm-hmm. And I love doing query letter episodes, so we will definitely be doing episodes like this in the future. But with that being said, lady, let's kick it off. Let's answer some cues.
Well, one thing I want to say, too, before we actually get into the questions.
Never mind. Don't kick it off. Take us right back.
It is one thing that somebody wrote in, but it wasn't a question. It was a name.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm so excited. Yes, okay. I've been teasing this. A few people wrote in with other suggestions as well.
Oh,
but
really?
I think we have landed on
Let's say what the name means. So in our last episode, okay. We referenced, like, our people who listen to our podcast, are they the roofers, the undies? Like, we didn't know.
We were very stuck.
And a listener wrote in named Alana Phillips. I asked if I could give credit. And the name is The House Guests.
House Guests.
It's so cute.
So if you are listening to Under Our Roof, as we hope, we want you to feel like a house guest, like we're having you over. At this point in time, we have already eaten, so there's nothing to serve you, but maybe you have a hot cup of tea.
And we're just chatting.
We're just chatting and answering some cues from other house guests around the world. So with that being said, finally, lady, let's answer some juicy, juicy questions.
All right, we're going to try to give our best quick advice to go through as many as we can.
Okay, here we go.
All right. This question is, what do you wish you knew when you started dating? And I'm not sure if the question is each other or just when we kind of like started getting on the dating scene.
Yeah. Okay. I'll answer that. Okay. I wish I knew when I started dating. This goes for you as well as it goes for pre-dating you.
What?
I know.
You dated other people?
I can't believe that I'm revealing that. It's an exclusive. I wish that I'd known that games in dating, it's really not cool. And I know that it seems like the thing to do to sort of keep someone interested. But I promise you, if games are what is linking you and this person together, it's not really a person that is maybe worth pursuing. I think that just there's so much value in being straightforward and communicating. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that there isn't room for mystery and revealing certain things, but the toying with people and doing things to intentionally get attention. And I'm referring to myself. I wish that I had known that you don't need to do that to attract someone who's worth your time. Mm-hmm. And that if someone is attracted by like manipulative games, that maybe that's like a bit of a pink flag, if you will, red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a magenta flag. I'm not sure.
I'm going to take this question as, what do I wish I knew when I, like, kind of started dating in general? And I think for me, it was, like, you most likely will not end up with the person that you date early on. And that's coming from someone who I started dating Grace when I was 22, and that was it for me. But I did have a few serious relationships before that. And I wish I had, like, from the beginning gone in with the mindset of, like, this is really fun. Like, wow, I'm getting to experience, like, romance and all of that. And mm-hmm. it's, like, a whirlwind and it's so fun. But you really, I don't know, it's so hard because why would you be spending that much time and energy if you were, like, I'm not going to end up with you. But now I feel like I watch TV shows and stuff and it's, like, these empowered characters who are just, like, I'm dating just to, like, date. And I never really thought of that as an option.
Yeah. I think when you're younger, sometimes it's helpful to hear, if mm-hmm. you need to hear it, that not everything needs to be so serious.
I know. It does. I mean, and again, I say that as someone who, like, when I was barely in my 20s, like, got really serious.
Yeah, we got pretty serious. We got super married.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how serious it got.
I know. But we also both did, like, we each had, like, a handful of relationships before that, and we probably took those too seriously.
There were a few, yeah, where I was like, we don't need to, especially, like, knowing what I know now and ending mm-hmm. up with you, like, wow, I could have really spared myself a little bit of the gravitas, if you will.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on. I have now a couple different questions that I'm going to read together because they're sort of like cousins.
Okay.
And we can answer them
together.
Cousin query questions. Yes. This person says, when is it safe to make a move without jeopardizing friendship? And relatedly, so there's kind of a series of related questions. When is it safe to make a move without jeopardizing friendship? How do you know someone likes you back? How do you transition from friends to more in a way that is secure? And also, follow up, how do you heal from liking someone who doesn't like you back?
Oh, no.
And then, wait, this is related. Okay. We can just kind of cover this topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody else says, hey, last year I discovered that I'm queer and I also like girls, parentheses, I'm a girl. But as last year has been very rough for me, I never really thought about dating at all. Now I feel better. Yay. And Yay. For the first time ever, I'm really interested in a girl. We only met a couple of times and never really talked to each other because we always hung out with a quite big group of friends. But I always kind of liked her and thought she's an interesting person. I follow her on Instagram and I'm kind of thinking about DMing her, but I'm not sure if she even knows who I am, and I don't really know how to start a conversation without it being awkward. Mm. Additionally, as I said, I've never really talked to a girl as more than a friend, and I'm terrified of doing something wrong.
Well, don't be terrified of doing something wrong. I would say, you know, really trust your instincts. Flirting, and I have no science to back this up, but flirting, in my experience, and I will hang my hat on this, mm-hmm. is a pretty natural human instinct. And I remember, and maybe that's just because I was a flirt.
Like, you were.
I just mean that, like, oh man, these are really good questions. Mm-hmm. It's really bringing me back to the days of, I've done this. This is crazy. Like, I literally am going back to, like, being 14 years old and, like, asking the girl
you're
I was
kind of blushing
interested.
Right now.
I know. When I was, like, 14, 15 years old, like, I really was interested in this girl. And we mostly hung out in friend groups. I don't even know if I like said to myself that I was gay yet. Maybe I had, but I knew that I wanted to spend some more time with her away from friends. And so I had to like find a movie that she was talking about that no one else seemed kind of interested in, or like she had like an afternoon to kill and everyone else was busy and I would make myself available, which I realize now is hard to do in a pandemic. So a lot of these questions are about like sliding into a DM. I think I really trust you, and I think putting yourself out there and just trying to be in her area and joining conversations within that group, finding points of interest, that's what I would say. Lizzie, what do you have to say?
Well, but the question was specifically like she wants to slide into her DMs. She has no other option right now.
Oh,
like,
so the option
is DMs. We got
to
make
DMs.
It happen.
Okay,
yeah.
okay. Sorry,
okay,
sorry.
No,
all
let
right.
me think. I say go for it because I feel like there's a lot of memes about like sliding into DMs being creepy, but it's really not
no.
if it's like a peer of yours, you know, mm-hmm. it's one thing if it's someone that you maybe shouldn't be talking to, but this is someone that you have hung out with in a group.
Yeah.
And I think the way to do it, assuming that she does Instagram stories, is just respond to a story with something like, you know, you think it's funny, or ask like, oh, that food looks really good. Like, how did you make it? You know, something to get in there and start a conversation and at least test the waters.
Yeah, and if she doesn't do Instagram stories, mm-hmm. if you remember something that she's interested in and there's like a meme about it or something,
oh, yeah.
you could DM her that mm-hmm. meme or something, or I don't know, just search the gram and find something relevant that you could share with her.
Yeah.
And then that could be a good conversation starter. And I really feel, going back to the first cousin questions of like, how do you know, mm-hmm. all that stuff, y'all, I really want you to trust your instincts, because I truly believe that we need to give ourselves more credit, especially if you were, how do I phrase this? If you're born as, I'll just phrase it as though it was me. So I was born a girl.
I was like, where are you going with this?
I know. Okay, so I was born a girl. Obviously, I have come out as like genderqueer. I use all pronouns, and I definitely fall on the more masculine side of things. But I was socialized as a girl in this world. And so one of the consequences of that, unfortunately, is that we're sort of taught at a really early age to second guess ourselves and our intuition.
Mm-hmm. And to not like be creepy or put yourself out there.
Yes.
It's not creepy to express interest in, again, like a peer. Again, if it's someone who's like, there's a major age difference or what have you, there
right.
could be a problem.
We're talking about peers.
Yes.
Yes. So within, you know, within your age group, within your peers, within your friend group, just really invest and trust and feel empowered by your instincts. And if you're interested in someone, you're naturally going to sort of gravitate to be around them, to talk with them, mm-hmm. to engage with them. And if they're interested in you, and here's the huge thing, they will reciprocate it. Maybe their communication style is a little bit different than yours, but if they are reciprocating, that's a huge sign. And then you just keep talking and communicating with each other. And I really feel confident that at a certain point you get to this sort of this precipice of someone's going to express their feelings.
Mm-hmm. Like if you're talking about something over DM, kind of being like, you know, haha, can we take this to FaceTime
yeah.
or something like, oh, I don't know if this is weird, but I just can't type anymore. Like, yes. Can we just do face to face?
That's good. And just reading each other's responses mm-hmm. and that was huge.
Well, so the other half of this cousin question was about how do you like make a move on a friend?
Right.
And so this is a bit different because mm-hmm. the other one was like DMing someone you don't really know that well. But what about like making a move on a friend? I don't know if I've ever really – actually, that's not true. I have made a move on a friend. Well, she kind of made a move on me.
Well, there you go. It definitely is complicated. And mm-hmm. I think that you are wise to think about things before moving forward because often is the case, although it's not a rule – that physical intimacy will impact a friendship. Doesn't mean negative or positive. It just means that it's going to change the dynamic of that friendship. So you want to be aware of that before going in, probably weighing the pros and cons. Is this like your best friend, your closest friend in the world? Is this a very like special close friend to you? Because in that case, because I know that like I had best friends growing up and then this other friend was like, but this is like a different best friend. Like I even knew then I was like, this is mm-hmm. a different kind of best friend. It wasn't mm-hmm. like Ariane or Julie or like all those friends from growing up. It yeah. was like my different friend, my different best friend. And so in that case, you sort of know, okay, you might lose the dynamic that you have, but you have mm-hmm. other friendships. And if it's worth, you know, maybe taking a risk and finding romance in the end, sometimes mm-hmm. you evaluate that and you make that risk.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I don't know what your situation is, if this is a friend that you can see or what the COVID numbers are where you live. But I will say something, mm-hmm. which is that I've always wanted to live vicariously through someone doing the TikTok like kiss your friend challenge.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's this trend on TikTok where people
baby,
like
maybe you're like lightning yes. in a bottle.
Yeah, they play that song and they make a video with their friend and they're like, okay, let's take a video, and then they kiss their friend.
We've gotten on emotional the lips. Over these
I know,
videos.
I'm obsessed with them. I wish that I could do this, but mm-hmm. I don't, there's really no one in my life that mm-hmm. I could do that with. That said, consent is important, so probably make sure this is a friend that's like comfortable with you know, physical touch at least.
Yes, before embarking on this trend. Another piece of advice before making a move on a friend mm-hmm. is that I really hope that you are very confident that the feeling is reciprocated before.
Well, how do they know? And they said, like, what about advice on healing if they don't like you back?
But okay, but here's the thing that I do think that there are some signs there. So mm-hmm. think about, like, are they making time for you as you're making time yeah. for them? So here, okay, I'll give you an example of a little sign for okay. me from this similar situation. I am a very emotional and creative person, and so I would put like mix CDs together for her. Mm-hmm. And something that indicated to me that she was feeling the same way was when she like wrote me a poem on like stationery. Mm. Oh, and it was yeah. like a double-sided like poem thing, and she was really shy about giving it to me. And so that was like, oh, I think we're on the same wavelength here of where our feelings are at. So look for signs like that. It wasn't a love poem. Mm-hmm. I think it was just about, like, you mean a lot to me, too. Like, that type of yeah. a poem. So look for those types of signs.
And don't sell yourself short. Like, there's times looking back that I now am like, oh, we were so crushing on each other. And we've even admitted to that to each other later, like friends or whatever. And we both were just spending all our time together and being obsessed with each other, but, like, not mm-hmm. ever going there because we were both too scared. And that, I mean, it all worked out. I'm glad I didn't end up with any mm-hmm. of those people, but it is worth going there,
yeah.
I think.
Another inspiration from TikTok. You've got to stop. What is it?
You've got to start being the main character. Yeah,
the main character kisses
the friend.
You are the main character in your life right now, mm-hmm. and you deserve a rom-com, a beautiful, sweeping period Jane Austen romance if you want. I don't know what your fancy is, but whatever it is that you want, you deserve that love story, and there's a person out there for mm-hmm. you where you will find that.
And if it doesn't work out, Jane Austen movies and ice cream, honestly, could be good for healing.
We still do that.
Yeah. Time heals all wounds.
That's, time really honestly. Does.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. Hello, Baldridges. What are the pros and cons of being out publicly in regards to a career as an artist and content creator? And they say, I love all of your music and content. Thank you both. Happy New Year. I think realistically, the con, depending on your situation, who's in your life, where you live, the con could be heartache with coming out. But you're not really asking about just coming out like to your circle. It's more about publicly with a career as an artist and a content creator. Mm-hmm. I mean, with that, I really can't see a con.
Well, I'm just speaking from my personal perspective. There has not been a con for me in coming out and creating content and being an artist and being openly myself. I have had to develop a thick skin along the way.
Yeah.
And I've had years, you know, I've been making internet stuff for years now, which is very weird. I kind of just sort of tumbled into this career path. Early on, it used to really get to me. I would respond to every single YouTube comment. And I probably would have had a different answer for you then. I really hated when people would read me for like wearing flannel. Every single guy on the network was wearing flannel. No one got a comment. And then I wear flannel and it's like, oh, of course the bull dyke wears flannel. I'm like, yeah, it's a comfortable shirt. Everyone wears flannel. Used to really get under my skin. Yeah. And now it's like, okay, yeah, I'm fucking gay and I like flannel. Like, what do you, you can't say anything to me now that I haven't heard before. Yeah. And I'm so secure and happy in my own life and confident in what I'm doing. And I think that makes it so that there is not a con. I'm also extremely privileged in that I am accepted and loved by my family and affirmed in my church and my faith. And I have a great support system of friends.
Yeah, those are definitely not small things in our world. But I think in terms of career success, I am so happy to say that I really don't see cons. I mean, I know you still hear about like people in Hollywood being like told to stay in the closet, and I'm sure that that does still occur. But as a musician particularly, and as a content creator, I don't know exactly what type of content you're making, but I feel like the queer community is so welcoming and collaborative that I feel like you may feel like you have more doors open and opportunities if you're out, because people will say, oh, you're one of us. We get each other. Let's collab. Let's work together. Oh, you're perfect for this because, you know, the queer community wants to lift people up. I feel like the queer community like rides or dies for musicians and content that they see themselves in more than any other community.
Yeah, because we've been so starved for representation for so long. So maybe it's just that we are glass half full type of people and we're only seeing some of the positives, because of course you know, we have been discriminated against and we've dealt with a lot of things. But as I sit here answering this question, being queer and being openly myself in the path that I've chosen has overwhelmingly been a positive thing in my life.
Yeah, and I am not a musician or really a content creator, but I would say I don't see cons. I do see hard parts, but I don't see them as cons, if that makes sense. Okay, I thought this was a good one because it kind of feeds off of something we talked about in our coming out episode. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I was gay until this fall, halfway through my senior year of college, parentheses, compulsory heterosexuality sucks. I'm out to a small handful of very close friends, but I want to come out to the rest of my incredibly supportive friends, family, and roommates without making a big deal of it. I know you've mentioned using a text or social media on the podcast, but I feel that most of these people deserve to hear it from me in person, and I don't want it to feel impersonal because I love them and they are important to me. Do you and Grace have any advice on how to keep these conversations casual and low-key while respecting that my friends and family will likely be very surprised and will probably have a lot of questions because everyone, including me, really genuinely thought I was straight for 21 years. I thought that was a good question.
That is a really good question.
I think it's all in the wording, honestly, to keep it low-key. I think your setting also matters. So probably sometime when you're going to see them for another reason. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I know seeing people in person is hard, but you mentioned family. So maybe you live with them or you're able to see people. But I think the setting being like a low-key dinner or catching up in general, rather than like, hey, let's meet, I have to talk to you,
right,
helps. And then when I've come out to people that I wanted it to just not be a big deal, it's tough because I think in the past I've kind of leaned on grace and just been like, oh, like I'm seeing one of my friends like named Grace, and then it's kind of like obvious.
It's really obvious when I show up too.
So I've kind of like leaned on grace to avoid having to be like, so yeah, I'm gay. I don't know why. Like, that shouldn't be a hard thing to say, but in our world, it kind of is. Oh, wait, I'll let you talk, Grace. But okay. I also wanted to say that I remember when you basically came out to me, even though I knew you were gay from the second that I saw you. But we were with a group of friends when we were first getting to know each other, and you were just like talking about stuff, and you were like, yeah, fun fact, like, I date girls.
I said that?
Yes, you're like, fun fact.
That's
like,
a very fun fact, yeah.
I date girls.
It's like, I date girls, you, hopefully.
So, I think, I mean, that feels a little like 2013 to me, which is when right. Grace said that.
Yeah.
But
I think I've probably come out to a lot of people in my day because I don't know if I've talked explicitly about this on the podcast, but I like came in and went back, or I came out of the closet and then went back into the closet, and I had a whole journey to come out. So I had to say and then affirm to people or confirm to people that I was gay on a few occasions. My advice is that you really have the power in that conversation and that you get to set boundaries. So sometimes I would like come out to someone and I'd be like, hey, I have to tell you something, or I want to tell you something, and I really want to just be like, it's really truly not a big deal, and like maybe we can talk about it over time, but I don't really want it to be a whole thing right now. So setting that boundary of like, this is I'm not looking to have a cry fest right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, I'm gay, and like that's what's going on in my life right now, and be like, oh, okay. And then be like, okay, I know it's going to be a bit awkward, but that was my strategy of just sort of mm-hmm. acknowledging like, okay, I'm going to say a thing and you might have this reaction or you might have this instinct to have a full Love, Simon affair in this home right now, but we don't need to do that because I don't really feel like doing that, but I did just want to tell you and I'm really happy and mm-hmm. like, it's going to be okay. And then there also could be occasions where you say that, because I had this before where like, I don't want to get into a whole thing, but like, I am gay. And then someone would say something that would get me crying. And then I would realize that I did want to cry, and I did want to cry and have a hug. And
yeah.
That's how it was. But like, I came out to my brother when we were driving somewhere, and it was not really planned, but I just was like ready to tell him. And I was like, yeah, I'm gay. And yeah, I mean, it is. And he was like, oh, we have to have my brother on the podcast sometime.
Oh my gosh,
it'll be so
yeah.
chaotic. But he was like, oh, well, well, oh, okay, so, oh, what, well, girls, okay. Like, it was just, and it was, like, kind of funny and awkward, mm-hmm. and I was happy that I told him when we were in the car going to my parents' house, because I knew that the conversation, I was like, I'm not ready to tell mom and dad yet,
mm-hmm.
and so the conversation had to end when we got out of the car, and I was like, hell yeah, I love this boundary. We get to have this fun little brother-sister awkward, lovable conversation. He was so accepting. He got certified to be a Universalist pastor that night or something, kind of to piss off my dad because my dad's a priest, and also because he was like, I can officiate your wedding, which he did not do.
He did give us our rings.
He did give us our rings, and he made a Lord of the Rings reference as he did so, but he did not officiate our wedding. But I would just say you have a lot of power in being the conduit for the conversation.
Yeah.
Choose your time. You know, choose your place and choose your tone. Like, you get to set mm-hmm. that. And
yeah.
people hopefully will respect that. Sometimes they might love the guidance.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, that's true. Kind of like it lets them off the hook of needing to have a speech ready.
Exactly. Like, don't go Jennifer Garner on us right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just say, I love you. That's great. Are you seeing anyone? Let's watch Love, Simon tonight.
Please help a queer disaster out.
No,
I'm sure you're not a disaster.
You're not.
Long story short, I fell in love with my best friend. We're both 24 for context. I thought she was feeling it too. parentheses, and honestly still think that. So we did a whole dating slash not dating thing for a while, and she told me she was embracing her own bisexuality. But when I went to DTR, that means to find the relationship, if you didn't know, I didn't know if you knew that. She got spooked and said she only likes girls to make out with, but wants to end up with a man. Feeling a little devastated, she wants to stay super close, but our relationship is extremely intimate and it is hard for me to maintain without commitment. Help, how do I survive this? My heart is heavy and I feel so stupid. Love you guys and the podcast so much.
Oh,
I know. This one kind of broke my heart because I can imagine, I mean, how excruciating. The person's still like hanging around and like wants to be close. Oof. I can't tell if she wants to like still have like a physical relationship. It sounds like maybe yes.
Well, it sounds like they have a really, you know, Lizzie and I kind of joke about this with historical figures, intimate friendship, you know, they'll
intense friendship.
They'll say that, you know, historical figures who had queer relationships had intense friendships. And it sounds like this is a really intense and intimate friendship. And you both obviously matter a lot for each other, especially if your friend is exploring her sexuality with you for potentially the first time. You know, that is really significant. And we all know that feeling of falling for someone or developing feelings for someone in a way that you can't quite explain for the first time. It's pretty life-changing. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that you would be feeling confused and pretty devastated. And I think I might have a bit of tough love advice here. And if it doesn't suit you, I want you to know that you can throw this out, okay? Because I really care about you and I want you to take care of your heart. So if what I'm saying does not echo with your situation, toss it out and be like, Aunt Grace is silly. And that Auntie Grace is, your podcast aunt is not doing, I'm not doing that. Okay. I think that if you continue to have feelings for this person and you still have this really close friendship dynamic that is crossing a boundary for you because you have romantic feelings for them, they do not reciprocate on the level that you do, I think you might need to take some space, you know?
Yeah, or at least just be extremely open and honest.
Yes.
In the sense that if you are kind of going along like, yeah, I mean, we can stay close, like it sucks that you don't want to have commitment to me, I think instead kind of being like, we can stay close, but I can't have a physical relationship with you.
Yeah.
Because smoke them out. Just kidding.
No, lady.
Because it's too complicated. At least she's someone that like you can talk to this about.
Exactly.
It's not someone who has not explored sexuality at all that you're scared to even broach the topic with. You can talk about this, it sounds like.
I think, yes. So I'm going to kind of amend what I said, which is that I think you need to have a kind of difficult conversation with this person that you really care about, who really cares about you. Set some boundaries about like, I care about you in this way. I understand that you don't feel the same way, but I can't carry on as is because I'm too tender about this. And it's hurting me to stay this close with you.
I have to agree with Grace. It's such a tough position, but I believe in you. I'm sorry that your heart is heavy.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is maybe a good time to insert this in here, but Lizzie and I are really hopeful for creating a space for house guests and podcast listeners of any variety in the new year. And hopefully when the time is right, we can all find community and encouragement there.
Yeah, we want to make some kind of like social media online platform for the podcast. It's probably overdue at this point because I've just been doing it piecemeal through like my own DMs. So stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to answer two more questions.
Two more.
We'll try to go through them quickly. Okay, so this one I thought was interesting. Do you guys ever get tired or annoyed with each other and just need your space? What do you do when this happens? This is my greatest challenge in dating. As an introvert, I become exhausted by people, especially people I'm close to. I'm an introvert. We're both kind of introverts in different ways. I'm definitely like a classic introvert. And what I would say is it gets a lot easier as time goes on because you get more comfortable with the person. When I'm around people, like if I have like a friend with me that I'm spending the whole day with, like going around town with them back when we could do that in 2019, I will be so tired by the end of it. It's insane. But with Grace, now that I'm so comfortable and that we can like sit in silence together and I'm not concerned every second of how I sound and how I look, I have found it to really level off mm-hmm. how tired I get being with other people. And so one small piece of advice is kind of like pushing through the earlier stages of dating when, yes, it is very overwhelming being with someone all the time.
Because you feel like you still have to kind of be on and you have to get to that level of comfort with someone. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it is grueling sometimes of when can you be off. I'll just share really quickly. This is maybe TMI, but we're all house guests here, right? I did not fart in front of Lizzie for, I'm just going to say it, for a year maybe or something. And we were long distance, so it wasn't that hard to do. But like whenever I would visit for like the weekend or something.
I cannot believe you're talking.
I would have to wait until she like left her apartment to go to class. She'd be like, all right, going to class. And I'd be like, all right, bye. And then I would wait for the door to shut. And then I would wait for her to literally walk out of her building and peer from the little sneaky window and then just be Toots McGee the house. I'm just going to be. And so and that was exhausting. Mm-hmm. That meant that for like the hours prior, I was just sitting with cramps, just so annoyed mm-hmm. with you of like, when are you going to leave to class? Like, go now. And you were like, no, I want to spend this quality time with you. And I was like, girl, I need to relieve myself.
Oh my God. Okay, that's one example.
Yes.
I would say, okay, overall the question of like, do we get tired or annoyed with each other and just need your space? The kind of annoying answer is that like, I don't really get sick of Grace, but I think we live really, really well together. Like our personalities are just like kind of two peas in a pod, but there are times that I kind of need space. And I think it's like, I think doing the necessary things of life, but kind of drawing them out so you're alone. So like doing like an hour, like basically spa situation in the bathroom, like taking a shower, like shaving my legs, doing a face mask, like all that stuff. And I'll just like steam up the bathroom for quite a while mm-hmm. and be alone. Or like both of us go for runs often alone. Without each other, or like exercise in general is kind of like a time to be away. Sometimes we exercise together, but.
Or working on music for me is another thing.
I think, I mean, that's the best answer I can give is just I find times when I am very present with the fact that I'm alone. And I think it's good to do like personal awareness when you are having a moment of alone of just grounding yourself like, I'm totally alone right now and kind of being aware of those moments, even if they are fleeting mm-hmm. when you're with someone, especially in quarantine, we both need our recharging time in different ways. And so we're both pretty respectful of that.
And because we're so comfortable with each other, we can just say that. Like,
yeah.
I can go into our bedroom and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just need time with Bean. Like, I just need to hold Bean to my face for like 30 minutes. I'll set an alarm and then I'm good.
Bean is our dog, by the way.
I've been doing a lot of those stress naps these days.
Okay, last question. This one kind of encompassed I got a lot of questions about like dealing with conservative or evangelical parents. I would love to answer more in depth another time, but for right now, I thought this one was a really good one. How do you emotionally/mentally support your partner visiting her strict evangelical parents who are obviously not down with the rainbow emoji who she is still incredibly close with?
Mm. That's tough.
Yeah.
So it's a question from the partner on how to support the person. Okay.
The more detail is a really sweet message. He said, if being a lesbian was terrible for them, wait until they find out she's actually dating a man. Huzzah. Came out to her 2 years ago, just started my transition in October. Mm-hmm. F to M, he, him. P.S. My fiance and I are really sad you guys live in Cali and we live in Washington because you guys are the queer couple friends we've been trying to find.
Oh, man.
I know. So nice.
We're thwarted by state lines.
Yes. But basically, the question is like, his partner goes home, her fiance goes home, and her parents are really strict mm-hmm. and or they're evangelical and conservative and they're not really like supportive. So how can he support her?
Well, it's a really, really sweet question.
Yeah.
I think my advice for this, and I'm coming at this from a point of no experience because while I do have religious parents, I don't have parents who are evangelical or conservative. But I think just from a support perspective, I would imagine that you just want to set sort of some ground rules and just ahead of time going into the weekend or the week or whatever, maybe come up with a few sort of scenarios, how you will manage those. Checking in with your fiance, like, okay, is there something that you're really nervous about? Is there something that especially is stressing you? And get specific. Like, mm-hmm. is there like a prayer that you're nervous about before dinner? And how can we manage that? Is there something that we can be doing? And I think anticipating before it happens so that if and when it does happen, you are prepared. It's not something that you haven't thought about before. It's something that you've both communicated with each other. And then, honestly, I don't know if this is too sort of covert ops, but maybe coming up with some sort of a signal or a sign when your fiance needs to tap out for a minute and just take a breather. Lizzie and I do that when we go home to Raleigh. Like, literally, sometimes
well, not
we'll just,
because of the same exact type of thing. But more going back to the introvert question, sometimes I just need a breather.
Yeah, and so we'll just sort of, you know, have a little bit of a signal and go somewhere a little discreet and mm-hmm. regroup. And well, maybe that's something that y'all could look into.
I couldn't tell from the question if they're going to be visiting her parents together or if she's just going back and visiting them. But I would also say kind of before and after, it could be really therapeutic to do like a brain dump of just like beforehand, kind of like what Grace was saying, like, what exactly are you nervous about? What are you hoping? How are you hoping it goes? What do you hope doesn't happen? And then after, be like, tell me everything mm-hmm. that went well. Tell me everything that went wrong. Vent, like just let it all out. I definitely believe in the power of venting. We're big venters to each other.
We are.
And it always makes you feel better.
Yeah, good vent.
So I think, yeah, letting it all out, kind of like even potentially saving up, like, okay, write down. Sometimes when I want to tell Grace something, if we're not together, I'll like write it down in my notes app on my phone.
There have been some amazing notes apps.
Yeah,
from
and
you.
Then we'll sit down and I'll go through my notes app and be like, oh, this happened, and we'll like process it all together. Mm-hmm. So maybe encouraging her, like, oh, you could write down everything that happens, and we can go through it together, like as if I was there, and this is if you're not going with her. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, something that Lizzie and I have really been clinging to, especially recently, I think within the past year, is that you are each other's family now. Mm-hmm. And that is such an incredibly powerful union that you will have with each other. And it's beautiful and it's strong. And whatever is thrown at you, whether it's from family members or friends or from work or from the fucking government, I don't even know. You have each other. You are family now. And so she's going into something that is uncertain, that is potentially stressful. But the good news is that she has an incredible fiance that is concerned about her and wants to know how to show up in the best way. And in that regard, I think you've already done it.
Yeah, Grace always kind of gives me a pep talk before hard things of like, there's no worst case scenario. Because we have each other. And that's gotten me through some really hard times. Just like going into it, there is literally no worst case scenario because if everything else is lost, we have each other and we will come together at the end of this and process it and talk it out and we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's not even that dramatic what you're describing because she sounds like she's still really close with her parents and likes them a lot. But even if things go kind of south and, you know, there could be hurtful things said, there's no worst case scenario. You have each other and yeah. You'll be, you know, leaving that visit, going home together. And that's what matters.
Yeah.
But I hope that the visit goes well.
We'll be rooting for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much to everyone who wrote in questions. Like I said, I am pretty sad that we couldn't get to all of them, but I'm also saving them in a folder. I took screenshots of things on my phone. And so if we do another episode like this, then I might go back to these as well as asking for new questions.
Yeah, I hope this was helpful. Again, if we said anything that was really awful advice or really didn't stick with you, please feel free to throw it out.
Yeah, we could have misinterpreted some questions, yeah. So please don't. Yeah.
The main takeaway is that we really believe in you and we're so grateful that you wrote in and that you're listening to our podcast. We love spending this time with you. And if you enjoy what you're listening to, please feel free to rate, review, and subscribe. We're an independent podcast, so that really helps us. And we have some really exciting episodes planned for the new year. We can't wait to get into those. But of course, I always want to come back to more query letters, and we will reach out in the future to find some more juicy topics.
Yeah, thanks again for writing in, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For my sweet old-fashioned babe. For my sweet old-fashioned babe.